glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, August 17th, 2015. I have a special guest waiting on the line, so I'll jump right into the interview in just a moment. But thank you, God, for his ministering angels, skipped the bear chair devil, survived a motorcycle accident last night, and is up and about, pretty scraped up, and was checked out at Carl. But we thank God he's okay. Also, last night's Conversation Matters class with special guest Bob Sievers was wonderful. So much so, we're going to do it again next month. More to say about that in the coming days. And I have three winners. I'll figure out gifts later. But these are people that filled out Voice of the Listener radio surveys. And D. Ruth Esri from St. Joseph will get a prize, along with Matt Elliott from Mahomet. And Karen Damon from Champaign. Expect a gift in the next few days.
Reading from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." Well, hi, listening friend. Welcome to today's edition of Mark and Friends. We have a special guest on the line with us. Thank you, Peter, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Peter, you're going to be in our area in a few weeks. You're going to be helping get the Jesus is the Way prison ministry on August 28th. And we had earlier last week Dennis Daniels, who's the executive director of Jesus is the Way prison ministry, along with board member Bill Scott, who's a volunteer and supporter and just an all-around great guy. And so you're going to love these men if you haven't met them in person, and you're going to love the Great News Radio listeners that show up to the banquet. But I wanted to have you featured today because you're going to be coming and sharing, and I just love the concept of your business. I Have a Bean, a second chance coffee company, your purpose and passion for helping inmates. And let me read that, and then I have a few questions to have you share with our listeners. What prompted you to do this, to start this company? Tell us some of the ways you've seen God at work. What are your future plans for I Have a Bean, and what you hope our listeners will learn and grasp when they come to the Jesus is the Way prison ministry banquet at the end of this month? But you have a statement on your website, ihaveabean.com, a higher state of grind. And, oh, I wish my co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffel, was here in the studio because he loves coffee. He talks about coffee all the time, and that's the kind of business you're in. But your mission statement or your passion and purpose is our passion for the craft, quality, and freshness of our coffee compels us to roast and deliver specialty-grade coffee the same day it's ordered. Our company was created for a purpose, to positively impact the lives of post-prisoner men and women, their families, and the communities in which we live. So thank you for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And before you answer what prompted you to start I Have a Bean and the Second Chance Coffee Company, share a little background and some of your life journey to this point. Married to Debbie, 4 kids, 3 grandkids. I'm sure you want to start by a shout out for your lovely wife, and then tell us a little of your spiritual journey.
Oh, that's great. Yes, I do want to shout out to my lovely wife, Debbie. I would not be the man that I am were it not for her. Her support of my craziness has been just stellar. She's fantastic and just makes me a better man. And I love the 34 years that I've had to be married with her, and I certainly hope for 34 more. That would be great.
Well done. You pass husbandry 101.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Hey, I should mention you're the founder of I Have a Bean, and you're a roast master.
I am a roast master. See, when you start the company, you can pretty much give yourself any title that you want.
Yes,
And so that's the one I gave myself.
Hey, and I should mention, you're soon to be 55. Is that coming up in October?
It is coming up in October. October 4th was a great day in the history of Octobers. And back in 1960, that's when I was born, and it was apparently a great year.
Yeah, you've been told by me, because that's the same year I was born, so we have some like-minded kindred spirit. In fact, I know your business is out of the Wheaton area, and we talked off-air about I spent some time overseeing apartment buildings, and that's my stomping grounds. And I talked about attending UCLA, which people say,
yes,
oh, wow, you were a part of UCLA. Yeah, the university closest to the Lombard area, and that's where you're from. Yes. Is that where you grew up?
I actually didn't grow up here in Wheaton.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here in Wheaton for 18 years.
Okay.
We moved here from Chicago, and we moved from Chicago because in the neighborhood that we were in, there was a drive-by shooting in my front yard.
Hmm.
And I decided, actually, my wife was visiting her father on the farm in South Dakota, and thankfully she had our kids with her when this drive-by shooting occurred. But I decided while she was gone that this was no longer a safe place to live.
Hmm.
So she had been gone about a week, and when she got back, our house was on the market.
Wow.
We were not going to stay there. Hmm. And God directed us to Wheaton. And it's been a great place to raise a family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us a little of that spiritual journey. Did you grow up in a Christian home? What influenced you to begin following the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, that's a great question. I'll say this. I grew up in a partially Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a staunch believer. I was in church with her before I was born.
Hmm.
If the church doors were unlocked, we were there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday morning, and again Sunday, and any other opportunity we could. And one church wasn't enough. We actually attended two churches because her family was Baptist. She was raised Baptist. And by the time I came along, she was attending a different church, and so that we could keep in relationship with my grandmother, her mother, we attended the Baptist Church Vacation Bible School and all kinds of stuff. So, I've been in church forever.
Yes.
My father, on the other hand, was not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great guy, loved to play golf and hunt and fish and go bowling, and from that standpoint had a pretty great upbringing. But he was not a believer until much, much, much later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, his brother was a pastor in Oklahoma. So it's not that he didn't know the way, but for a long part of his life, he simply chose to live differently. That did not stop us from praying for him every single night as children and as a family for his salvation.
Now, what age did you transition from just attending church to building that personal relationship with Jesus?
I remember specifically the day I was 6 years old. And I was actually coming back home from church in the back seat of a 1963 blue Chevy, and no seat belts, of course. And I was looking up through the back windshield at the blue sky, remembering what I had just heard in Sunday school, and it was the old color book, different colors. You know, there's black to represent our sin. There's red to represent the blood of Jesus, white to represent how we were washed as white as snow, the sins were erased. I think green is in there. I'm having trouble remembering all these, but green for growing as a Christian and gold for the golden streets of heaven when we get there. And that was the lesson I was told about sin and how that impacted my relationship with Jesus. And I realized on the way home that I wanted to have him living in my heart and directing what I do and the decisions that I make. So I asked him to come into my heart at that moment. So it's interesting to me that at six, you know, here I am at almost 55, that I remember that specific moment.
Wow. Now, would you say it's just been an uphill climb ever since? Everything's just kind of gone well, and you've never sinned or felt like God wasn't there?
Roses and peaches and cream the whole way.
Everything is always balanced. Everything's worked
everything
out.
Everything is in Portuguese, the phrase is tudo azul, and it literally translated is everything is blue, meaning the skies are always blue. It's a great day. And I only know that because of a short-term mission trip I took to Brazil a few years back. But no, it has not been easy at all. Mm-hmm. And part of that from my family. My father, as I said, was not a believer, and that actually caused a divorce in my family when I was 12. Mm-hmm. In not living the life of a believer, we witnessed drunkenness and chain smoking. He actually died of cancer, and he was twice the age of my mother. Mm-hmm. So he died of cancer when he was 68, and my mother married a guy who was a professor at Texas Wesleyan University, and he became a Methodist minister following his father's footsteps. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that that was one of the roughest transitions that I've ever had to go through. And it wasn't easy on him either. Mm-hmm. He was the father of one, and she was 4 years old, and he, in marrying my mother, got five children, two of whom were teenagers.
Yeah.
And that made for some very interesting family life, I will tell you. So it's been rough.
And I ask that because we have many listeners at all points on their faith journey, some far from God, maybe haven't even entertained the idea that he loves and cares for them and desires a personal relationship to the senior saint. And sometimes people are under the impression if you come to Christ, you become a believer, you start following him, all just goes well. And I just wanted to highlight that that's not the case. He's always with us, but we still go through this, you know, various struggles and heartaches and disappointments. And it's that journey of sanctification where we're refined and we have to lean heavily into him. Many times when we're in the depths of despair and we have nothing to cling to, we finally surrender or submit or say, okay, Lord, take my life and make something of it. And it seems like you've had that happening in your life throughout your journeys with Christ, and that's even prompted you to start this Second Chance Coffee Company. And I know you're going to speak about that at the Jesus is the Way upcoming banquet on Friday night, August 28th. So if maybe for somebody just tuning in, with me as a special guest, Peter, wait just a second, Esther, I'm recording. My little six-year-old daughter's coming into the studio. Go upstairs and be with Mommy. I'm recording right now. Yeah, I have the studio in my home. So, in case you just tuned in, I have Peter Lennard. He's the founder of I Have a Bean, Second Chance Coffee Company. He's a roastmaster, lives in Wheaton, Illinois, the holy mecca of Eastern Illinois. He's going to be coming to the Jesus is the Way Prison Banquet and sharing on Friday night, August 28th. And if you want to reserve your seat and attend the banquet, you can call Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry at 892-4044. That's 217-892-4044. So, Peter, I just want to kind of get into some of the nuts and bolts of your passion and your heart for helping people. And so how did you decide this I Have a Bean Company?
That's a great question. It's a confluence of two seemingly unrelated events that only, I think, God could put together in some cogent form.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, in 2005, I was tapped by my church to help lead a short-term missions trip to Brazil. And all we did, we went down there and dug some deep holes, like 30 feet deep, and filled them with rebar and cement as building the foundation for a church in a poor community that had a couple of missionaries that our church was supporting. Hmm. While I was there, we were drinking some great coffee, and all of us were exclaiming how wonderful the coffee was, and we were offered a chance to visit the plantation where it was being grown and visit the farmer who was growing it, and then we were introduced to his daughter, who was the gal who had been brewing and serving us the coffee all week. So we visited the plantation, and while we were there, I noticed he was roasting coffee over an open fire in a stainless steel sphere that had a handle on it that he was allowed him to turn this sphere over the fire while his wife was feeding sticks into the fire. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's the most rudimentary form of roasting I think there is, other than perhaps what they do in Ethiopia. But we watched that happen, and it was fascinating. And I will tell you this, before I saw that happen, it never occurred to me that roasting coffee was something that a human being did. I didn't have any concept of roasting coffee beans or anything like that. My enjoyment of coffee or my knowledge of coffee was simply this. I'd go to the local coffee shop and ask for a mocha and know that it needed to be ready and sitting there with my name on it on the little handoff station within 47 seconds or they weren't doing their job. Yeah. And that's what I knew. Then I went to Brazil and I had straight black coffee, no cream, no sugar, none of that stuff, and it was delicious. And that was really a taste epiphany for me. And I immediately asked if I could buy some of that guy's coffee, his beans, to bring back as gifts to the people that sent me on that trip. I thought it would be a nice thing to do. I think I bought 10 kilos of that guy's beans. Brought them back to the States. And while my intentions were pure, my palate was not. I drank 8 of those kilos.
Oh, jeez. Just couldn't share the good thing.
Yeah, it ended up being some pretty expensive quarter pounds of coffee that I distributed to the people that sent me on that trip. But it was the start of something that I had no idea what God was doing, that it was going to end up as anything at all. I did realize after the 8 kilos were gone and I had given away the other 2, I needed to do something because I certainly couldn't go back to drinking what I had been drinking.
Yeah. He raised the bar.
Yeah, the bar had been raised. That's exactly right. My wife calls me Mr. Research. I research everything I buy and anything that I do. And so I figured, hey, if this guy in Brazil can roast his own coffee over an open fire, I bet I could figure out how to do that here in the States. And just to make a very long story a lot shorter, I designed and built my first roasting machine that ran in my Weber gas grill and taught myself how to roast coffee. It took a number of months to learn how to roast a specific coffee. I enlisted some neighbors to help improve it. They sacrificed their palates to taste my burnt offering.
Now, did Debbie get sick of going around the neighborhood picking up sticks?
You've talked to her, have you? Oh, boy. Fortunately, it's a gas grill.
I didn't
do that with sticks over an open fire. But at the time, I was owner of a software company, just a small one here in Wheaton. And we were bidding on a project in Switzerland. And while I knew that if we got the project, I could figure out how we could do the work, I also knew that we didn't have all of the talent in the firm at that point, should we win it, to go ahead and get it. And I remember coming home from work one day, just a normal day, nothing spectacular. Got off work at 6, came home, had dinner with the family, played with the kids, put them to bed, read stories, and then sat down with my wife to watch the 10 o'clock news. And a relative of hers and mine was the lead story on Channel 7 News here in Chicago. He'd been arrested out of state and was in jail awaiting to be in front of a judge to figure out what was going to happen next. That event is what led to this company, I Have a Bean, being formed. And how that happened, I watched what happened to him. So when he was arrested, he was immediately fired from the job that he had. That was bad news for him, and it was good news for me. And why is that? Because he's a genius. He's a computer programmer. He's a mathematician, an accountant. He's a guy who solved Rubik's Cube without a book or anything when he was 14. He happened to have the skill that I needed for the project in Switzerland. So as soon as he posted bail, I hired him. And together we delivered the project. It took about a year to do that. But we delivered it on time, under budget, and everything was great. And then he went to trial, got convicted, and put in prison. I had to hire 4 guys to replace him. When he got out of prison, I brought him right back to the company. There was no reason not to do that. I'd known him for 20 years prior to this. and brought him back to work. And a couple of weeks later, you know, we ran payroll using a small outside payroll company. I got a call from the president of that company, and he thought he was giving me some secret news. "Hey, Pete, this is Jeff. I'm sure you don't know this, but you have a convicted felon on your payroll."
Hmm.
"No way, Jeff, you're kidding me." "What?" He said, "Yeah, I knew you didn't know." I said, "Jeff, I know." "You do?" "Well, of course I do." "Yeah, Pete, you can't do that." And I said, "Well, hold on a second, Jeff. Last time I checked, I was the owner of the company, and I'm pretty sure I can hire anybody I want to." And he said, "Yeah, technically that's true, but we also hold your business insurance."
Hmm.
And his crime was committed on the Internet, and his work for you requires him to be on the Internet all day, and that's just too much risk for us. So we are going to drop your insurance and stop processing your payroll if you keep him on as an employee.
Hmm.
And if we drop your insurance, you're not going to get it anywhere else.
Hmm.
Well, that was pretty serious. So we solved that problem. I called him into the office and explained the situation. I fired him, and we executed our plan. He went to the state of Illinois and formed his own corporation. And then my company contracted with his company to continue doing the work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you obviously learned that, gosh, how unfair the system is for past felons or people that have made mistakes.
The story is unbelievable. It's incredible how the system is stacked against someone who has committed a felony. It's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how that played out in his life, and that started me down the path of saying something needs to change here. Somebody needs to provide employment. There's all kinds of things that people who have a felony conviction need to have. One of those things is a job.
Hmm.
And that's what God has tasked me with doing. Really nothing else. It is, "Pete, you need to do something, and this is what you're going to do. Remember that trip to Brazil you took, and now you know how to roast coffee? You need to put these things together and offer employment to people with a felony conviction."
Hmm.
So there is so much between those last two statements. There's enough to fill a book about this journey, what's happened, where we're going, all of those things.
Well, we're very excited to have you coming on Friday night, August 28th. And this will be kind of a little teaser for our listeners because we're out of time. But I'm sure many are going to want to come to the Jesus is the Way prison ministry and hear the unique ways that you've seen God bless your efforts. I Have a Bean. You can find out more at ihaveabean.com. ihaveabean.com. And come on, Great News Radio listeners. I know many of you love good coffee. You know my co-host. He talks about it all the time. You can get freshly roasted coffee this very day if you stop by ihaveabean.com. I think you even like mail it out with their names on it. I mean, I've read your website and just some of the unique responses of people that say, "We love the coffee. It's so fresh. My name was even on it." I guess you have that real personal touch.
Yes, we do. Every bag goes out the door with the name of the customer on it because we roasted it with them in mind when we put it in the roasting machine.
Ihaveabean.com. So stop by the website, order up some freshly ground coffee, maybe multiple bags that you can deliver to your friends and family members. It's helping a great cause. I Have a Bean, Second Chance Coffee Company. And Pete Leonard, the founder and roastmaster, will be speaking at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry on Friday, August 28th. If you want to reserve your spot at the banquet, dial 217-892-4044, 217-892-4044. Well, Pete, we'll be praying you up. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, and may God continue to bless your efforts as we began the program, as you learn to love him and love others and provide jobs and quality of life for some of these men and women that have made a mistake but need that second chance that we all get as we know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, stop by ihaveabean.com, ihaveabean.com, or sign up for the Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry Banquet, and you can hear more of Peter's story and how you can be a part of this redemptive work that God's doing through Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. Once again, the phone number to call is 217-892-4044. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.